Firstly, I need to explain a little bit about the title. When I say associated tick-borne pathogens, I mean the pathogens that we found in the ticks. We didn't look at bare blood. And secondly, when I submitted this abstract, we were looking for pathogens, but it turns out we found several organisms that are not pathogens, and one pathogen as well, so that really should be symbionts. So I'm just making a disclaimer there.
How did you get a picture of the
bear? Off the internet. I do have some pictures, but they're not that close, and they're kind of blurry, you know. So we collected ticks from 37 black bears, and this was the Florida subspecies of the black bear. So it's Ursus americanus floridanus. It's in northern Florida and southern Georgia, so it's different from the population in north Georgia. We got 17 bears from Florida. Now, the Florida bears were either roadkills, nuisance bears. Some of those were euthanized, some of them were darted and relocated. Ironically, the relocated ones were usually sent into Georgia, which is interesting. So these are all northern Florida counties, so this is the Florida panhandle. And pretty much collected in all months, but you'll see there's a slight concentration in the winter months. The Georgia bears, we got 20 of those, and those were legally hunted because you can hunt bears in Georgia. And all of these counties are around the Okefenokee Swamp, if you're familiar with that area. But those were only collected in September and October because those are the hunting times for bears in Georgia. So this is the distribution of, and this is from the internet as well, black bear currently. And you can see the study area here. Actually, this population is more contiguous than is shown here, but you kind of get the general idea. So we collected these ticks. Now, some of them were sent to us in vials. We sent vials to the hunter check stations, and we did. One of the authors worked for the nuisance bear people in Florida, so he got the Florida samples. So the ticks were ID'd from ethanol in which we received them. Then we extracted DNA from all the individual ticks. We got 100% extraction success. Even though some of the ticks look kind of grungy, we did succeed. And then we used, or I should say at UGA, at Squidus, used a whole battery of primers to look for different, to screen for different pathogens or symbionts. So we looked for Rickettsia, and you can see the genes or the sections that were, we used primers for parts of those. So for example, the major surface protein 2, the variable length, PCR, antigen transfer gene, and Francis cell outer protein membrane A. Another disclaimer is, as of right now, we have not screened these ticks for Babesia or Tularia, so I can't give you those data yet. So any positive samples that we got, they were sequenced and compared to gene bank sequences, so to try and see what we had. So first of all, I'm going to talk about the ticks that we collected. And fairly typical, they're kind of the ticks you would expect probably from a large animal, especially a large carnivore in Georgia and Florida. So the Lone Star tick. And these totals here are the totals for both states combined. So 9 males, 10 females, 3 nymphs. So we only collected immatures from Amblyomma americanum, the Lone Star tick. And then the Gulf Coast tick, the American dog tick. Ixodes affinis does not have a common name. And this is actually the first collection of this, of Ixodes affinis from a black bear. This is really a near tropical tick, but it does get into Florida and coastal South Carolina and Georgia. The one we got was from Florida. And of course, the black-legged tick, Ixodes scapularis. And we collected most of those. Now, I do give prevalence data here, percent of bears infested, and mean intensity information. That's the mean number of ticks of that species per infested bear. But they don't probably mean a whole lot, because if you remember when you look back at the dates when they were collected, they were scattered all over the place. And seasonally, you would probably see different prevalences for different tick species. So basically, this just kind of shows you the tick species that were collected, that we did get one that's not been collected before from black bears. And it also shows that, and these mean intensities don't mean a whole lot, because the hunters or the hunter check personnel collected these, and they may have just collected a few ticks. I imagine there were a lot more ticks on these bears than we actually received. So looking at what we found in these ticks, in the DNA that was in these ticks, the Lone Star tick was male and female. Using one of the primers for Ehrlichia chaffeensis, we got 1 out of 22 positive, and that was repeated 4 times, so we know it was positive. And it was also sequence confirmed. And actually, this is the only zoonotic pathogen, definite pathogen that we found. And then we found Rickettsia amblyommae, 4 of 22 of those were positive. All of those were sequence confirmed. This one is not considered to be a zoonotic pathogen. There are one or two people who think it could be under unusual circumstances, so there's a little bit of disagreement there, but probably not. It's definitely not really important, that's for sure. Amblyomma maculatum, the Gulf Coast tick, we got 2 of 11 of those positive for Rickettsia. Now, one of those two was Rickettsia amblyommae, which is usually in, not in this tick, it's usually in Amblyomma americanum, the Lone Star tick. What you would expect to find in Amblyomma maculatum is Rickettsia parkeri, which is a pathogen, even though decades ago when it was first described, it was called the non-pathogenic Rickettsia of the Gulf Coast tick. We now know that some people, even immunocompetent people, do get quite sick from infection with Rickettsia parkeri. But I'm not sure if we collected or not. We need to rerun this one because it did not sequence. So it could be parkeri, we don't know. Oh, and of course that's a male and that's a female of Amblyomma maculatum. The American dog tick, Dermacinta variabilis, this was also fairly common on the bears, and you would expect to get Rickettsia rickettsii, at least if you're looking for pathogens, the agent of Rocky Mountain spotted fever from this tick, but we didn't. But we did get two other Rickettsias. We got Rickettsia bellii, 1 of 29 positive. And incidentally, Rickettsia bellii is also in aphids and in some other places as well, so it's a really weird Rickettsia. It's considered to be a non-pathogenic one, at least for humans. Rickettsia montanensis, we got 4 of those positive, and all of those were sequence confirmed. But we got no Rickettsia rickettsii from that tick. And Ixodes scapularis was probably the most interesting one, the black-legged tick. And as I'm going through these, you're probably thinking, well, there are certain things that are not listed there. For example, Borrelia. We didn't get any Borrelia positive black-legged ticks, but I'll mention that in a minute again. So out of the 66 Ixodes scapularis, 32 of those were positive for Rickettsia of some kind, so almost half of them. When you look at those in more detail, when you sequence them, one of them turns out to be Rickettsia coolii, which was first reported from eastern Texas about 10 years ago from this same tick species. Another one is currently called Rickettsia TR39, and we put like because there are slight sequence differences. And another one is Rickettsia IS1. So one of these may be something new. We have to look at it in more detail. Four of the PCR products did not sequence for these, so we're going to rerun those 4 again. But it's interesting that you got 3 Rickettsia species in Ixodes scapularis from black bears, and none of them seem to be pathogenic to humans. So in conclusion, we got 5 species of Ixodes ticks from black bears in the region I mentioned, and it's the Florida subspecies of the black bear. We got the first record of Ixodes affinis from black bears. And incidentally, affinis looks a lot like scapularis, but you need to look at the length of the internal spur on coxa 1, kind of down here. And it also has punctations on the scutum, which you can't see in scapularis. So we only actually confirmed one zoonotic pathogen. That was Ehrlichia chaffeensis, the agent that causes human monocytic ehrlichiosis, and that was from the accepted vector, the Lone Star tick, Amblyomma americanum. Now, this is interesting. All ticks are PCR negative for Anaplasma phagocytophilum, the agent of human granulocytic anaplasmosis. They were all negative for Borrelia, so no Lyme disease or southern tick-associated rash illness pathogens. They were all negative for Ehrlichia ewingi and Francisella tularensis. And another thing I want to mention is that each of those rickettsias that we got from the different ticks, there was just one rickettsia in each species of each individual tick. So as some people have suggested previously, there may be some competition between rickettsias inside individual ticks. In the future, as I said, we need to screen these for Babesia and Tularemia using PCR. But given all of this, it appears that ticks associated with black bears in Florida and Georgia are probably not important sources of zoonotic pathogens, with the disclaimer that we still need to run the Babesia Tularemia screens. And I talked to somebody last night about this, and she said, well, maybe black bears are important for cleansing hosts, you know, for reducing the amount of Lyme disease or something like that in a certain area or other pathogens. But that's real speculation. So this is just a list of the different rickettsial symbionts that we detected in ticks from black bears. I guess you could include the Ehrlichia chaffeensis, but that's also a pathogen. So we got one in the Lone Star tick, one, the same one, in the Gulf Coast tick, two species in Derma cinnavirealis, and three species in Ixodes scapularis. And none of these, with the possible exception of Rickettsia amblyommae, are known to be pathogenic to humans. So with that, those are my acknowledgements. And I have actually seen black bears and gotten close to them. I just didn't take these particular pictures. So any questions?
One question.
Oh, yes. No. Well, Michael, I think, had serum from other black bears, but not for this stuff.
Did that bear have other ticks on it? Like, I didn't see any group by host, right? So, if that had other long-term ticks on it, and it was serum positive, then would they all have them? You know, did he look at the data by host, like, one tick?
He didn't list it that way in the spreadsheet that he sent to me, but I could go back and check. I'm not sure I could check it this minute, but yeah, that would be interesting. Right. Yeah, so you're thinking of like non-Ehrlichemic transfer, right? Like if it wasn't. Yeah, I can check when I get back and see what was on that particular bear individual. Yeah. Yes? Well, we did when we collected them, but the hunters and the hunter check station personnel didn't. So they were mostly around the ears, sometimes other parts of the head. But maybe that was because people were looking mostly in that area. But, you know, in a lot of mammals, ticks do occur often close to or on or in the ears. So that's probably where most of them were.
Did you sequence those PCR tests directly or with the
I think they were directly. I'd have to check with Michael. He just sent me the sequence data an hour before I was going to leave. So. Yeah, Patrick. That's a good point, actually. They weren't screened for Bartonella. I'll tell him to do that, because he's still got the DNA, yeah. Yeah. Yeah, that's important. Thank you.
Anybody else? Okay, that's it. Thanks.
Thank you.